This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. My co-host, Meghna Chakrabarty, is away today. So Memorial Day weekend is coming up, marking the unofficial start of summer. I know, the weather doesn't feel very summery out there, but don't worry, it'll get there. And the long weekend invites us to start slowing down, thinking about the hot weather ahead, maybe even an opportunity to relax and enjoy a good book or two or three or four. So the question is, what are you reading this summer? We're going to spend the next part of this show talking about some great summer reading recommendations, books with a local connection to Boston and New England. And joining us now is Chris Castellani. He's artistic director of Grub Street, a nonprofit creative writing center in Boston. Chris also teaches creative writing, and his most recent book, All This Talk of Love, came out this past February. And Chris, thanks for joining us. Great to have you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Also with us is Mary Cotton. She's the owner of Newtonville Books, an independent bookstore in Newton. She's also written 11 young adult novels under a pen name. And Mary Cotton, thanks to you for coming in.
I'm always happy to be here.
And listeners, we're talking about great books to add to your summer reading list. And we want to hear from you. What's piling up on your bedside table? What are you looking for in a summer read? What do you recommend? Share them with us. Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And we're going to tick through Mary's and Chris's list, and I've got a couple of recommendations as well. You can find a complete listing at radioboston.org. But Mary, Chris, before we start and dive into your picks, I want to ask you, what makes a great summer read? I mean, I'm thinking that for some, it might be a chance to escape into a great novel. For others, maybe a chance to finally catch up on a great classic. I remember the last time I had a long period of time off, I said, this is when I finally read Anna Karenina. For others, it might be, you know, a great work of nonfiction. Let me start with you, Mary. What makes a great summer read?
I don't think it's that different from what makes a great winter read, but I think generally people are more relaxed in the summer and they have this whole stretch of time in front of them, and so they can get more ambitious. I think it's just everyone wants a good story that's well told and keeps you turning the pages.
Mm. Chris, do you agree, or do you want to add anything to that?
I absolutely agree, and I think that one kind of myth about summer reading is that you're reading to escape, and I think what happens in the summer is people have already escaped. Mm-hmm. So they're looking actually for they have more time. They want to, you know, as you said, maybe delve more deeply and slow things down and really spend some quality time with a good book. I think those who say that they read really frivolous books in the summer are probably reading frivolous books all year round. I don't think they turn to those and it's just in the summer.
All right. And again, before we get to the list, what kind of season has this been for books from your perspective, first of all, Mary, as a bookstore owner?
I think it's great. There have been so many new, exciting novels out. When people come in and they look at the front tables and they're just like, oh, there's so many things to choose from. And so it's been a very strong spring, and going into the summer, too. Lots of great.
Yeah. And Chris, are you excited by what you see out there in the bookstores?
Always. It's always an embarrassment of riches. And it's whether, the quote-unquote big books that come out in the fall, the different types of books that come out in the spring and summer, there's always something to choose from. And it's just hard to know what to pick, which is why these kinds of conversations that we're having are so important.
All right. Well, let's start. We'll start with you, Mary. You said you like the idea of a great story, something to really get lost in, and that really sounds like your first pick. The Woman Upstairs by Claire Masood. She lives in Cambridge, and her book is also set in Cambridge, right?
It is, and this is just a wonderful book that just came out, and it's something that I would call a literary page-turner, which is really what I go for. It sucks you in right away from the very first page, which, if you let me read, I'll get to show you a bit. And it's about this character, Nora Eldridge, who is an elementary school teacher in Cambridge, and she's sort of long ago given up some of her dreams, and then she meets this wonderful family and sort of falls in love with all of them. And it's a book that it'll keep you on your toes. You're never quite sure where things are headed, but when you get there, it feels both sort of surprising and natural.
Fantastic. Well, why don't you read just a little bit from the opening page there, just to give listeners a taste of Claire Masood's
book? Sure, just a taste. I'm sure if anyone can hear Claire read this, it will be fabulous. So it starts, "How angry am I? You don't want to know. Nobody wants to know about that. I'm a good girl. I'm a nice girl. I'm a straight A, straight-laced, good daughter, good career girl. And I never stole anybody's boyfriend, and I never ran out on a girlfriend. And I put up with my parents' stuff and my brother's stuff, and I'm not a girl anyhow. I'm over 40 effing years old, and I'm good at my job, and I'm great with kids, and I held my mother's hand when she died after 4 years of holding her hand while she was dying, and I speak to my father every day on the telephone. Every day, mind you. And what kind of weather do you have on your side of the river? Because here it's pretty gray and pretty muggy, too. It was supposed to say great artist on my tombstone, but if I died right now, it would say such a good teacher, daughter, friend instead. And what I really want to shout and want in big letters on that grave too is F you all.
Okay, a little bit chilling. That's that's Mary Cotton reading Cambridge-based author Claire Massoud's the first page of her new book, The Woman Upstairs. And listeners, we're talking about great summer reads. We want to hear your recommendations. We're going to give you some of ours. 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Chris, you also have a sort of intense, immersive book set in Cambridge on your list, right?
Yes, we're not moving too far from Cambridge here. Mm-hmm. My book is... excuse me, Andre Aciman's Harvard Square.
Andre Aciman.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, got it.
And I'm a huge fan of pretty much all of his books, his novel Call Me By Your Name in particular, so I was so thrilled when I found out that he had a new novel out this year. And this one's just as powerful and complex and even more ambitious as his other work. It's set over one summer in the late 1970s in Cambridge and Harvard Square, and it centers on the relationship between an unnamed graduate student who's an Egyptian Jew and broke and restless, and an Arab cab driver from Tunis, whose name is Kalaj, which is short for Monsieur Kalashnikov. the grad student sort of longs for this coherent self, for assimilation maybe, or at least to disappear into his somewhat fairy tale land of books. And he's got a very conflicted but passionate relationship with America and with Harvard and Harvard Square in particular. And he's sort of seduced by this charismatic cab driver who lures him into the real America and becomes kind of his id in a way.
It sounds absolutely fascinating. We actually have a clip of Andre Aciman reading from his book, Harvard Square. And he's describing one of his characters. He's talking about one of his characters as he describes the experience of encountering American culture. Let's listen.
What I heard instead was the raspy, wheezing, threatened voice of an older order of mankind, older ways of being human, raging against the tide of something new that had the semblance and behavior of humanity, but really wasn't. It was not a clash of civilizations or of values or of cultures. It was a question of which organ, which chamber of the heart, which one of its dear five senses would humanity cut off to join modernity?
That's Andre Aciman reading from his book, Harvard Square, which Chris Castellani is recommending for a good summer read. So let's move on to a couple of others. Mary, let's move on to one of your picks. Also very much a window into how another mm-hmm. culture finds a place in the U.S. It's called Americana. Mm-hmm. But that's Americana spelt with an H by the author. And I'm going to let you pronounce the name because as I look at it, I'm worried I'm going to bungle.
No, I think it's Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie.
All right.
Who was born in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And this is an amazing new novel by her. It's her fourth novel, and all of them have gotten wonderful praise. And this is her latest, and it does not disappoint. It's this sort of all-encompassing novel. It's part romance, part comic novel, part satire, and part tragedy. It focuses on two people, one who is a Nigerian woman who has lived in America for the last 15 years and has this successful niche as a blogger, and she sort of suddenly decides to go back to Nigeria. And there she encounters her first love, her in some ways her only love, Obinze, who has stayed in the country for complicated reasons. And it deals with racial issues. It deals with trying to find your home in this world today. And it's this wonderful, funny, moving, really, really gripping novel. Mm.
You know, it strikes me that we're seeing a little bit of a theme here, books that really are about drawing people into another culture and another way of life. And Chris, you have another book about finding love and leaving the U.S. to do that. It's called Together Tea, right?
That's right. That's a debut novel by an author named Marjan Kamali, who lives in the Boston area. And one of the things I like so much about this book, and I think readers will enjoy, is that window into Iranian and Iranian-American culture, which is rendered with really great specificity and warmth and also feels very universal. And it's very much a mother-daughter story. And they're both very charming and engaging characters and kind of a little bit of a happier story than the other one that I had recommended. Mm. And, you know, for example, one funny detail is the mother is obsessed with math and she creates these Excel spreadsheets that where she rates all the different men in the in Queens where they live. Sure. And sort of presents them as reports to her daughter to find the right husband at 25.
Well, why don't you read a bit? I understand you've got a short piece from this book that I'd love to hear just to give us the flavor.
I do. And this is from Mina, the daughter's perspective. And she, you know, she knows a lot about ancient Persian poets and about bombs in Tehran in the 80s, but she doesn't know enough very much about American culture. And what she writes here, what she thinks here is, Daria and Baba, her parents, found the bar culture unseemly, wouldn't want her sitting on a skinny bar stool swinging her legs. Mina knew how to study and work very hard. She knew how to swing her legs on that hyphen that defined and denied who she was, Iranian hyphen American. Neither the first word nor the second really belonged to her. Her place was on the hyphen, and on the hyphen she would stay, carrying memories of the one place from which she came and the other place in which she must succeed. The hyphen was hers, a space small, potentially precarious. On the hyphen she would sit, and on the hyphen she would stand, and soon, like a seasoned acrobat, she would balance there perfectly, never falling, never choosing either side over the other, content in walking that thin line.
That's Chris Castellani. He just read a passage from Together Tea, a debut novel by local author Marjan Kamali. And listeners, we're talking about great summer reads, books that you want to recommend. We're trying to recommend some for you, and we're looking for books with sort of a Boston or maybe regional hook to them, either in terms of the author or the story. Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And Chris and Mary, we've got a bunch of callers who want to get in, so let's go to one now. Daphne is calling from Bridgewater. Hi, Daphne. You're on the air.
Hi. I have two great books to recommend, both by an originally local author, Bruce DeSilva. One of them, the one I especially like, is Cliff Walk as in Newport, Rhode Island.
As in the famous Cliff Walk in Newport, Rhode Island, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Fantastic.
And the other one is Rogue Island, which the first in the series. It's a detective series. He's a newspaper man. And anyway, wonderful summer reads.
Fantastic. Daphne, thanks so much for the call. That's Cliff Walk and Rogue Island by Bruce DeSilva. Sort of noir thrillers set in Providence and Newport. Sounds like a lot of fun. Have you guys read any Bruce DeSilva?
I haven't,
but those are on my list now.
All right, good. They're on our
on
list.
On my list.
All right. Well, let's bring up another one of your picks. Let me come back to you, Chris,
sure.
That also feels very relevant for Boston right now. It's called Girls I Know by Doug Trevor.
That's right. And this is another debut novel, although he has a book of short stories out as well. And it's a really affecting sort of character study about three characters brought together by fate and tragedy in Boston in the winter of 2001. And at the heart is a guy named Walt Stedman, who's another grad student. That's a sort of theme for me here. Grad student dropout, good-hearted loner. And a sort of one joy in life he has is spending time at this cafe in Jamaica Plain each morning. And it's one of those sort of another one of those Boston hangouts where everybody knows your name, where he's working up the courage to ask out one of the young waitresses, and a horrific act of violence occurs in this cafe that changes. It sounds overdramatic, but it changes him forever, and it thrusts him into a deepened relationship with one of the girls who's lost her parents in that act of violence, and with another woman who lives in his building.
Sounds really, really interesting. So again, that's I just got my notes in front of me. That's
Girls I Know by Doug Trevor.
Girls I Know by Doug Trevor. And again, listeners, all of these books that we're talking about and more that Mary and Chris have brought in are going to be at RadioBoston.org. So you can go on the website and see them there. So let's shift into some nonfiction here. I know there's a wealth of great writing out there for those who are more interested in real world stories and invented one. And Mary, your pick sounds like a really good summer read. It's called Superman, The High-Flying History of America's Most Enduring Hero, written by Larry Tye, a longtime Boston Globe journalist.
This book is just a lot of fun. It takes the story of Superman and it tells it to you. Not everyone realized, everyone's familiar with Superman, but not everyone realized how it started and how he changed and developed over the years. And so he starts in the depths of the Great Depression. Jerry Siegel was this young teenager who was raised on adventure stories and who had lost his father at a young age. And he had always dreamed of a world where there could be a hero who could save everyone, who could be just kind-hearted and sort of all-powerful, able to protect the innocent and step in when necessary. And it goes from this boy's idea to how he created him and how he was kept alive through the years, through different incarnations, both on the pages and on the screen. And it's just this really fascinating history about this icon. And it gives you a really great portrait of what America was going through at that time, all these 70 years of this as well.
It sounds fascinating. So that's Superman, The High-Flying History of America's Most Enduring Hero by Larry Tye. It sounds like a lot of fun, really, really does. Let's go to another call. We've got more calls than we're going to be able to handle, but we're going to get as many as we can. Let's go to Regine, who's calling from Milton. Hi, Regine. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you? Thanks for having me. I'm actually a professor of African and Caribbean literature at Boston College, so I always love these conversations and want to give a plug to a few things. I was glad to hear you mention Americana by Chinonanda Adichie. I wanted to recommend specifically for the Boston field, Ghana Must Go by Taye Selassie. And Taye Selassie actually was mostly raised here in Massachusetts, in Brooklyn, and in the novel, which is about a family of four children and what happens when their father dies and they return to Ghana for his funeral. But there's a lot of, it's a very New England novel. It's a very Boston novel. Milton Academy is in there. Mm-hmm. Brookline, the Rotaries in Brookline are in there. So it's a really great and lush read as well.
Sounds like a great recommendation. Again, it's Ghana Must Go. And say the name of the author again.
Taye Selassie.
Taye Selassie. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you said you had a second one.
Oh, okay. My second one is We Need New Names. This isn't specifically Boston, but it's a Zimbabwean author. Mm-hmm. And her name is No Violet Bulawayo. And it's a coming-of-age novel, and the author is from Zimbabwe. And it's, again, you know, similar themes of diaspora about the aunt that she has in the United States. And so it's also a nice, you know, nice for the for this summer, another really amazing work of African fiction.
Well, Regine, thanks so much. These sound like two great suggestions. We're very grateful for the call. And by the way, Regine and all of the other listeners, if you have recommendations, go to RadioBoston.org and click on this conversation. You can put your recommendations right in there under Mary and Chris's list. And then this list is going to be a great resource for lots of our listeners. Let's go to Sarah, who's calling from Somerville. Hi, Sarah. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you today?
Very well. How are you?
Good. Reading the thing by Wurlitzer, I think is her last name, and it just came out recently. And
Sarah, wait a minute. We're having a little bit of trouble hearing you. I'm not sure. Are you on a speakerphone or?
Nope. I'm on a cell phone, but not a speakerphone.
Okay. Now you're sounding a little clearer. Start again with your recommendation.
Oh, I'm reading The Interestings by Meg Wurlitzer. It just came out, and it's about the early 70s, five kids that meet at a summer drama camp in western Massachusetts, and it follows them over the years.
All right, that's great. And so that's The Interestings by Meg Wurlitzer. Say something else about it. What do you like about it?
Well, it's sort of it's striking resonance with me because of the tight group of friends that met in a short amount of time, and then their friendship persevered over years, and that's how I met my friends, and there are a lot of parallels in the story that just really ring true with me.
All right. Sarah, thanks so much for the recommendation. We appreciate it. Chris, let's come back to you with your nonfiction pick.
Yes, thank you. Mine's a little a little out of the box, more of an academic book, but one that's eminently readable and reads almost like a novel in certain places. And so many of my books are about failed graduate students. Here's a grad student who actually became a professor and wrote an excellent book. It's by Erin Lechleiter, who's a professor of American Studies at UMass Boston, and it's called Inventing the Egghead, colon. All the books like this have colons, right? Inventing the Egghead, colon, the battle over brain power in American culture. and this is a field guide to American geek culture in the 20th century. and really studies the ways that ordinary 20th century Americans define themselves as intellectuals, and about the rest of the country's kind of vexed relationships to those people who did celebrate their brain power. And it, you know, it begins with George W. Bush, not an egghead to be sure, and talks about sort of, you know. It ranges freely across popular and literary culture, taking time to explore in more detail such signature moments as Coney Island's rebranding as an institute of science, Einstein's appearance in 1920s America, Cold War-era science fiction, to try to make sense of our country's deeply conflicted relationship with smart people.
And let me say, why America is afraid of smart people.
Exactly. Yeah, right, and this is course. Say, you know, this type of book that people like me like read at the beach, and we understand why people are kicking sand in our faces as we're reading them. You know, now I know why.
Well, I've got a couple of recommendations that I want to throw in here. The first one I want to, I'm just going to at least start with one. It's also nonfiction. And we actually talked to the author. This is John Sexton's book. And it's based on a course he teaches at New York University. John Sexton is the president of New York University. It's called Baseball as a Road to God, Seeing Beyond the Game. He created and taught this course. He's an avid baseball fan and a devout Catholic, and the book offers a deeper look into the sport through the lens of religion, from miracles to curses to contemplation to conversion. But it sort of reminds me a little bit of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance that was written many, many years ago. The idea of just getting very quiet and peaceful and really sort of coming into yourself through the close observation and study of baseball. Here's what John Sexton said about this book.
If you really probe deeply into baseball, all of these small things matter in a kind of kaleidoscope of detail that the slowness of the sport and the intricacy of the sport can teach us the values of contemplation that are very close to the deepest essences of the great religions.
So there is. That's John Sexton, author of Baseball as a Road to God. There's some great Boston connections in it because he's an avid Yankees fan. He writes about the historic sort of rivalry between the Yankees and the Red Sox and the sin of hubris in 2004 when the Yankees thought they had it all wrapped up against the Red Sox. And he was there at Fenway Park with a bunch of New York VIPs, and then things began to turn around. They tried to leave early to beat the traffic, and then, well, we all know what happened.
Oh, that's great.
And that system. So there's a lot of great stuff in there. All right. Well, let's move on. I think we've got time for one more. Mary, getting back to Boston-based fiction, you brought in a book called The Art Forger by B.A. Shapiro.
Yes. I'm a big fan of what I call the art mystery. I was a failed art history major, and so giving me something about art is just wonderful. And then when you tie it in with a mystery, it's perfect. And Boston is absolutely ripe for this because this book set almost 25 years after the infamous art heist at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, which is still the largest unsolved art theft in history.
What is it about these kinds of stories draw us in?
It was just an enormous scale, and it's just that although there's rumors about it, of course, we still don't have all the answers, and so I think that's why it's perfect. A novel set in this world is just absolutely perfect, and it involves a young artist who is presented with one of the stolen Degas paintings and asked to forge it in return for a one-woman show. And as she's working on it, she begins to suspect that maybe this itself is a forgery, and so that asks a lot of interesting questions and sets us down this road. And it's just this wonderful, thrilling, it's very fun mystery that is set in this fascinating
setting.
Real life mystery.
Real life setting. It sounds fantastic. Yeah. The Art Forger by B.A. Shapiro. That is pretty much it. We're low on time. So I guess Mary Cotton and Chris Castellani, I'm just going to say thank you both so much for coming in and sharing these. I know you brought in a lot more recommendations. They're online at radioboston.org. And listeners, you can go there to see the full list and also post your own recommendations for great summer reads. Mary Cotton is the owner of Newtonville Books. Mary, thanks so much for coming in.
No, thank you. This was a pleasure.
It was really fun. And Chris Castellani, artistic director of Grub Street, a creative writing center in Boston. He's also author of the novel All This Talk of Love. Chris, thank you so much
for coming in. Thank you so much.
Really appreciate it. Listeners, stay tuned. Much more to come on Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.